Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 17, September 13th, 2011. Amateur Radio's Newsline joins Ham Nation. Good evening, everybody. I'm back.
He's back!
Oh, I'm really glad to be here. I missed
hail,
everybody.
Mr. Heil. All hail, Mr. Heil. How was Italy?
It was great. It was really super. We had a good time, Sarah and I, and my brother-in-law and my sister. Got to tour the Maserati plant.
Ooh.
Oh, that was great. It was really fun. My sister owns a Maserati, so we were able to go in and have some fun there and saw some nice technology. But it was good to get off and see some things float around in the water over there, as you know.
Did you bring a radio with you? Because I've heard that if you get the permission of the captain of the ship, you can use your radio.
Didn't even turn on my cell phone.
Wow. That's really disconnecting. Wow.
Yep. That was the plan. So.
Good on you.
Yeah, I hated to do that, but what you got to do it once in a while. We do it about every 5 years, I guess. But yeah, it was fun. And you guys did a magnificent job. I'm always happy that Gary can sit in for me, and there'll be a lot more coming up the way it looks. But things are going good, and we heard from a lot of the chat room guys and got a lot of emails. So glad to be back. And Gordo, you're doing good. Gordon West in Costa Mesa, your lights are finally on, right?
We were lucky. We were right on the edge of the blackout. We remained on, but let me tell you, the hams in San Diego County really came to the call of duty. They were on the air. They were operating through repeater stations that were battery operated, and they were reporting in those areas that were totally in darkness where they needed traffic control and so on. So San Diego did a fabulous job, and best of all, the portable AM radio. This is one from C. Crane. The portable AM radio that we tune Leo in each weekend was vital to telling those that are not hams what to do. Stay calm. Don't light a candle and burn down your house. Don't turn off the gas. Just sit it out. And the biggest comment was, oh my God, I can actually see stars. Many San Diego folks had never, ever seen stars from their town.
That's a sad statement. Hey, you know, I've got my AM radio here. I hope this is okay. This seems like this would be good in a case of an emergency. Can you get a close-up of that? Look at that. Look, and this one. The Magnavox all-portable transistor radio. I've had this in a box ready for a hurricane, tornado, earthquake. I am ready.
Yeah.
Should probably check those batteries, though, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
That is great. And, you know, without batteries, C. Crane also makes a crank-up radio.
That's right. Yeah.
And some of the folks were there doing their cranking business to stay on the air. But KOGO 600 on the AM radio dial and KNX up here and KFI up here and many of the other stations were doing a great job keeping people up to date, as well as the hams on letting us know what they needed down south in the dark.
Really cool.
Wow. It's great.
Those are two of my stations, by the way, KFI
there
and
KGO,
both tech guy stations.
That's wonderful. And once again, the hams come to the front line, and it's just amazing how many disasters, and not only disasters. I just noticed a note from the DARA Club, who puts on the Hamfest and the Hamvention. They're going to support some kind of a marathon walk, bike-a-thon this weekend. I noticed they're going to use a repeater. And so many of those walks are happening around the country, and hams are the lifeblood of keeping the communications there. So that's why it's so important that we all get out there and get our license. stations and make it happen. And thanks, Leo, for giving us time and the bandwidth here, because we've got just hundreds of guys have gotten their license. I'm sure you're aware of that, how many every week we hear have got their license upgraded and so on, or got reinterested again in amateur radio because of Ham Nation. We're very excited and blessed and honored to be here so we can bring people the excitement of this hobby, because it really is something. So we appreciate the time. It's great. One thing that we need to do before we get cranking on here is we had a couple of notes, and one of them was really quite disturbing to me, in that one of my good friends, K5LYN, who runs the Vintage Net, you hear me talk about that every once in a while on Sundays. He was in the Texas fire. It not only destroyed his house, it took the neighborhood. We're talking hundreds of homes. He lost some of his vintage equipment. He lost his 600L, not replaceable. It's a central electronics amplifier, 1956. And he lost that, and his Golden Eagle. He prized that microphone so much from back in those days, and several other pieces of equipment. He lost them. He got some of it out, but not all. And so our hearts go out to him and his wife. They barely got out themselves, but boy, that's a tough situation. K5LYN, and Lynn, if you're able to hear us tonight, why we're all thinking about you and praying and hoping that everything comes back around, and we hope we can help you restore some of that great gear. So those are things that happen, and what can you do, you know? But those are things that you never know what's going to come down, but it'll be the hams to try to keep you in breast. That's great stuff.
Hey, I wanted to thank, by the way, because I was showing off these old transistor radios. I wanted to thank Adam Hamilton, who was Ryudo in our chat room. These were his dad's. His late father's handed them down to him. And he said, since you've got Radio Corner, you really ought to have some old transistor radios in Radio Corner. So his health's been a little bad. So, hey, we wish you better health, Adam, and we thank you for listening, and thanks for the donation.
Oh, that's great.
Radio Corner.
Radio Corner.
Yeah, it's getting pretty good looking over there. You said you saw we got the new desk over there. I think we're going to do the show from there next week.
That's great. It really looks nice. Yeah. I saw it the other day on one of the drop cams, too, so that's great.
We got that Clans beautiful cutter. Collins from Mike Doro, and Dave Jennings is going to send us a new Gates Stereo Statesman control panel to replace the Collins. I'm going to send that back to him. So we should be set. All I need is two turntables, and I am set. Now, on the Ampex, because you have an Ampex, what was it, a 351?
Ampex, it's a 440.
440.
Yep, I used a KMOX for years.
We were talking about it, but I just don't think I have room for it, Bob. So I'm gonna let you store it a little longer, okay?
Okay, no problem. I got it. Anybody needs it, I got it. It's here.
We're running out of room, and I need to have room to get you guys into that corner as well. So I don't know if I can fit all of that stuff.
Hey, Gordo, you did a stumper last week. What happened there?
It was tough.
Well, we had loads of comments from many listeners and viewers saying they could almost figure out
what is that?
What in the world this sound was? Someone said a Freedom Charger. No, sorry, Chris in the UK. Nope. Alternator noise. Nope. That's a zzz noise. No, Brian. Kodar radar, which right now we've heard on 25 megahertz. No, Don, it's not Kodar radar.
Wow.
DirecTV interference from a receiver inside the RV. Nope. The Guest brand battery chargers. Hey, they're noisy, John. Nope. Busy signal on a trunked radio system. No, Scotty. That noise is coming from a refrigeration controller manufactured overseas by a company called Danfoss. And for 2 years, they did not realize they had a problem. At least that's what I've been told. And they finally have it mitigated so that it doesn't go 1,000 feet, but rather only about 10 feet. So it's the Danfoss refrigeration controller in boats and motorhomes that make that Morse code type of QRN, that weird sound. So the way to do it is turn off the refrigeration or shield it as best you can with fine copper screen. Danfoss controller. Very noisy.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, is George with us yet? Have you still got George on the line? Is George with us yet? Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, George.
Hi, George.
Nice to see you tonight. Everything going okay? You haven't burned the place down with your torch yet?
No, I haven't fired up the torch here, and I haven't let Jim anywhere near the place.
Well, I understand that you have... a great thing when you do smoke and solder after a while on how to get rid of some of that noise and RFI. So get that all fired up, and we'll be back to you with the smoke and solder, and you're going to show us how to get rid of some of that. Is that right?
It sounds good, Bob. Yeah, I noticed on the chat room when we built the dipole there in Petaluma, some guys mentioned something about what? No one-to-one balance? So I thought I'd cover that type of stuff this week.
There you are.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we're ready. That'll be good. All right, we'll be back to you in just a little bit, but I wanted you to get ready to help us get rid of some of that noise that he just just did. Well, I'm going to do this stumper. I'm going to step in here. I got a very interesting deal here. It has to do a little bit of music, too. And I want to see, first of all, if everybody can figure out, first of all, what this is, this here song.
Well, oh, everybody knows that.
Everybody's got to know that, right?
Yeah. Everybody over a certain age, anyway.
Well,
it's probably, let's give you a hint. You might have heard it on this transistor radio.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's Buddy Holly, and it was his birthday this past weekend. He would have been 75 years old.
No kidding.
Buddy Holly, wow.
He made such a huge mark in rock and roll, and he was only with us a year and a half. He opened for Elvis Presley. his history is incredible. Go read his Wikipedia. But I have a stumper question. He was not a ham. He was not a ham. However, his life did have something to do with amateur radio later on. I want to know if anybody can figure out how he figured into ham radio a little bit. So we'll email me, k9eid@arl.net. You see it at the bottom there. And Art Gordo, let us know if you know what the connection of Buddy Holly and amateur radio is. And he was not a ham and wasn't studying, didn't know anything about it. But take a good look at what happened.
And if you call Bob, he'll say, "Hello, baby."
Hello, baby.
Did I? What would I? No, I'm sorry.
The big bopper
who went down with Buddy Holly in that.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah. And Richie Valens. That's a sad part of our times. But this will be a fun one. And I just thought I'd throw that in. Had a little bit of music to do with it.
I have a guess, but I'll save it for next week.
You have a
Will
guess.
Will you let me guess next week before you give the answer?
Right. We'll have to mark that down.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let Leo guess.
He gets first shot.
It's a pure guess, but I have a guess.
That's right. Okay. Leo, we have a wonderful thing happening on Ham Nation tonight. We're going to start a new segment. It will be here every week. And every week on Friday, a guy from California has been doing this for I don't know how many years. He's a wonderful friend of mine. We met on 6 meters back in 1957 or 8 over that very Harvey Wells right there.
Wow.
That same one, by the way. He has gone on to do some incredible things. And I want to bring Bill Pasternak on and let him tell us a little bit about how he did it. But I'll tell you a little bit about this guy first, because he's not going to tell you the whole deal. He's been 30 years in broadcasting with Channel 11 in L.A. And he's got so many awards, I don't think he could stack them up on a shelf. He'd have to have a whole room full because he's got Emmy Awards and all kinds of film because he does independent films. And the guy's written, I don't know how many books. He writes for CQ, World Radio, on and on and on. He has been a great help to amateur radio, a great help to me personally. But to all of us, every week, we get to know the news of amateur radio around the world with a thing called Newsline. I have a tough time saying that because I want to call it Westlink. That was his first name. Okay. So let's see where Bill is, if we can get him out of the pool there. And there he is.
It's raining today, Bob.
Oh.
It's been a nasty day today.
Bill, it's good to see you.
And good to see you, Bob.
Everything doing okay there, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything's working. And as long as we don't, these thunderstorms don't knock us out, we'll be okay.
Yeah. Hey, Gordo, look at that 520 sitting behind him.
Oh, like I know. I saw that. Well, Bill, thanks for joining us. And Bill, boy, you've been around a long time in ham radio. And so I'll let Bob go ahead and ask you some of those leading questions on Bill Pasternak and Newsline. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, first of all, you asked about that 520. That was Roy Neal's rig, Roy Neal K6DUE, who was the science reporter and producer for NBC for 45 years before he retired. He's now passed away, but I bought that from him when he moved to North Carolina.
My goodness, wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Well, Bill, when did you start Westlink? Why did you start Westlink? Tell us a little bit about the history of that and how it developed into Newsline.
Okay, I'll try and keep it as brief as I can. We started in 1976, and I have to honestly, I'm not the one who started it. It was a guy named Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, and I helped him. Jim was this was during repeater deregulation in 1976, and the first newscast was strictly for the LA area, for the people who were on 220 like myself, and Jim produced the newscast. I helped him, gathered sound, did some of the editing. And then another friend of ours took it on a motorcycle with an old crystal-controlled 2-meter radio and took it up on a mountaintop. And that was the first one. There was no second one. It was not supposed to be a second one. After there was no second one, Jim started to get complaints. Where's the next newscast? So he produced another one. And then what happened is people outside the area started to hear about it. And they said, well, can I get a copy or can I get a copy? And it just kept one on and on and on. And all of a sudden he's doing 150, 200 tapes a week. Mm. And then something happened. He got engaged. He got married and was moving away from Los Angeles. So he asked me if I wanted to take it over. And I said, yeah, if I can get some help. And the help came in the form of the late Bill Orenstein, then KH6IAF, then KH6QX. And for the first 10 years or so, Bill and I worked together on that. Our primary anchor was Alan Call, late Alan Call, W6RCL, who you knew, Bob. And I think Gordo knew him also. And then people just kept coming and going. Jim Davis, who's still with us. And I can't know. The list goes on. And we've been also a training ground to some degree for people who have gone on to broadcast careers because they got a chance to start with us. The reason I started it, very simple. When I was 19, my mother passed away, and I had, I don't know what you'd call it, the overnight watch taking care of her in her terminal phase of cancer. And my friends in ham radio would stay up all night with me, talking to me and keeping me going. So this became a way to pay them and the ham radio community back for the kindness that they showed me back in 1960.
That's really
well. It certainly is an enveloped your life. I'm sure. I don't know how you do this because the things are amazing. And now, how many do you even know? How many repeaters and places is Newsline broadcast each week?
We're in the process of doing another survey right now. There's, as a matter of fact, I have to call the guy. The Newark Radio Club is doing that for us, and we started it last year. We do know that from statistics that we have from looking at the downloads of the audio, and it's 8,500 or so a week. Now, that doesn't mean it's repeaters. It's a lot of those, I'm sure, are individuals. And I have here, we have the very last, we started with this on a with a telephone machine, automated, and we're still doing it, even though we only, we're down to, well, we're up to, what was it, 10 phones at one time, and we're down to one phone right now, which is still here, right in this little office I'm in, not far, about 10 feet from me. And we still get probably 100 calls a week on that. So not every ham has gotten on the internet yet.
So they call to listen to the show.
Yeah, they'll call in and listen. They'll call in and listen to the show.
Wow.
Or they can download the file. It's an MP3.
Right.
And listen to it at their leisure.
Almost unbelievable, but I guess there are some that don't have a computer. So Bill is still there for them in the analog mode. Leo, how you like that? That's pretty cool.
Can you transmit it on the ham bands, or are you not allowed to do that?
Oh yeah, it's we're on. The last time, I have a list, and I should have printed it out because it would come from where I'm sitting and go out the door into the living room, and the dog would probably be sitting on it. but, you know, we have, it's several thousand. I just don't have the exact number. That's why we're doing this survey, which was begun last year, and hopefully sometime by the end of this year I'll have a more accurate count. But I can give you from the technical side of the downloads, because of the our ISP and web hosting, or the people who do that for us, Allen Labs, they have statistics for us. Not who called, but just the number of calls that came in, calls, downloads that come in. And the, of course, we also post the scripts, basically unedited, and we get a couple thousand of those people wanting those. And we see our stories show up in ham radio newsletters that get sent back to us. So, yeah, and it is, yes, very much legal. It's been, as I said, it started on the air on Simplex. It's wound up on repeaters all over the country and all over the world. I mean, it's it got out of hand. And this was all being done while I was working full-time. I'm retired now. If you call me, movies, make retired. Yeah, Bob.
We want to thank you for all the work that you do putting this together. I mean, it's very professionally done, and I know that you've taken the time to mention Ham Nation when we first started the program, and every once in a while you keep mentioning it and help us spread the word. So we thank you for that. But what we're going to do is, with your gracious help, each week we're going to bring a couple of minutes of Newsline to Ham Nation and kind of keep our audience up on some of the top news. And to do this tonight, we're going to have Don Wilbanks, who does a lot of your announcing. And
Don will be here tonight, I believe, and for a couple of weeks. And then Robert Sudock's taking over, who is unfortunately ill right now. But when he gets back, he'll be your permanent anchor.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate you guys doing this, and we want to make sure that that you know how much we appreciate you mentioning the TWiT Network and all of the things that Leo's doing, as well as what we're trying to do here on Ham Nation and bring amateur radio to a whole new market.
Well, and so we're thrilled to have the addition of regular news on this show. I mean, what better place to run NewsLink than right here?
That's right.
Oh, thank you, Leo. So, thank you very much.
We're only going to get a couple of minutes of it, but you'll be able to go to the website that you see posted there and let everybody see the whole thing, read the whole thing. So let's see where Don is. Don, are you there?
I am. Hello.
All right. Hello.
Nice to see you.
Now, you couldn't have a better anchor on TWiT for NewsLink.
Did Leo just call me a twit?
We did.
I saw it on your arm, Don.
Oh, well, you want to see it again?
Yeah, let's see it.
Look at this. Look at this.
So Bill may take it back if he sees this, so I got to warn you.
Yeah.
There's his call sign, and there's a Heil PR40 mic.
There you go. It's easier to see on the card.
It's on his QSL card.
Yeah, that's on my arm and my actual QSL card.
And so, I have the fat version on my computer. Before you lost all that weight,
Yeah.
That's the back of my head. There. Whoops, let's go back one.
There it was.
Let's go back one. There it is. There is a, that is a great tattoo. And notice
and
the
yes,
Morse
it hurt.
Code. Yeah, I bet it hurt. Especially that CQ at the bottom, right?
It's about three that's, hours worth, yeah.
That's what you call a dedicated customer. I was just blown away.
That's a high
he came up
lover.
To date a few years ago and said, Sarah and I, come here, I want to show you something. I'm going, uh-oh, what do I do now? And he rolled his sleeve up. Oh, my goodness.
Bobber, do you know of anybody else who has Heil Gear tattooed on their body?
No. No, no not at all. Not that they want to tell me. So, well, thanks a lot, Don.
I guess Don is a well, professional announcer.
Yes, I'm a professional pronunciator.
Don is a professional broadcaster. Don, you work there in the New Orleans area, and you might want to tell everybody a little bit about what you do to go to work every day and what you do and how that happens for you.
Okay, well, I've been in broadcasting since 1978. And when I was 10 years old in 1970, I told my mother that I was going to be the voice coming out of a radio. And from that day on, started that process and have been lucky to pretty much continuously be in broadcasting since then. And was on the air for a long time in Oklahoma City and New Orleans and a little bit down in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And now gotten off the air a few years ago and now write and produce commercials all the time. And we lived in New Orleans until Hurricane Katrina washed us to Mississippi. So I now have a 125-mile daily commute back and forth from work. But I traded living in the backyard of a refinery for living on 10 acres surrounded by in-laws. So it's a good thing.
That's great. Well, we're going to be very thrilled to have Newsline on here every week. So without any further ado, let's let it roll and see what the news of the day of amateur radio is from the Newsline team.
Let's do it. And I'm proud as I can be to be here. And Leo, congratulations on your new license. I'm
Thank you.
Very proud of you.
Thank you,
All right, Tom. Here we go. From the Amateur Radio Newsline, these are the Ham Nation headlines. And as you guys mentioned on last week's show, the Arisat-1 was deployed from the International Space Station August 3rd by two spacewalking cosmonauts. And now a month later, strong signal reports continue to come in, even though the internal battery is almost completely depleted and the bird is totally dependent on power from the sun. In addition to hearing the bird live on 145.95 megahertz, you can receive Arisat-1 data in near real time on your smartphone or mobile device. And according to space.com, if Russian engineers cannot quickly figure out what's caused a recent launch booster failure, the ISS may have to start operating without a crew in November. This would indirectly impact on ham radio as well. If the ISS were to be evacuated, it would mean at least a temporary hold with scheduled on-orbit astronaut to classroom ham radio contacts. And obviously, random contacts by the ISS ham radio crews with amateurs worldwide would cease as well. And if Russia cannot find the failure cause of the Soyuz and get it proved for carrying human passengers, it could mean that the ISS could be unmanned for the first time since 2001. United Kingdom researchers say they're planning to try to revive a 1970s satellite on 137.56 megahertz. The Prospero spacecraft was the UK's first satellite. It was put in orbit October 28, 1971, carrying a series of experiments to investigate the effects of the space environment. The satellite operated successfully until 1973, was contacted annually until 1996, and last heard by radio amateurs in 2006. And lastly, several Washington State hams were responsible for the rescue of a camper who had slid off a ledge near Emerald Lake. John Myers, KD7AAT of Spokane, received an emergency call over a local repeater from Todd Cady, K7PKT. Cady informed Myers that a camper had fallen over the side of a ledge and had suffered a major compound fracture of his femur. Using a handheld GPS device, Cady provided Myers with the exact coordinates, and first responders stabilized the hiker and a rescue helicopter transported him to a medical facility where he is reported to be recovering from his injuries. And for details on these stories and more, you can point your web browser to arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. Now back to Ham Nation.
All right. Good job, Don.
Working yeah. without a net.
We had a recording just in case.
Yes, you did.
No, that was great.
That was great.
And Don, thank you for letting me throw marshmallows at the alligators at your former QTH before.
Hey, that was fun. I should have sent those pictures. I'll do that. I'll send those pictures for next week.
All right.
I've got them. That
deal.
Was great. The
deal,
swamp
deal.
Tour.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much for doing all that. You and Bill will look forward to this every week. So hopefully you can get more fun things going on here on Ham Nation. It's great. one thing I just posted to the chat room, we're going to try to get on 1466-265 after the net. I hope that the conditions will be good. I understand that the last few weeks things have been a little hot there, so we'll see if we can get on and talk to a few of the guys there. And if that doesn't work, we can get down on 40 somewhere. We'll have to let y'all know where we're going. And sorry, you won't be able to be there from Costa Mesa. Leo, I don't know if you know it, but Gordo has like not one, not two, but three nets that he runs right after Ham Nation.
I didn't know that. Really? I see he's tuning his dial, though. He's ready to get down there. He's going to 14265 there.
And, you know, 14265 right 14265 right now is making it all the way to the East Coast. So I think you're going to have a great condition.
That's great. Antenna. Now I wish I had my gosh darn HF antenna.
We're working on that. We really are. We're going to get this happening, I'm telling
you. It's a thorny problem.
I know.
We'll figure it out.
We got two or three powerhouses working on this, Leo, and it's coming to the end where we'll be able to sit down at that nice 7800 and
I think it's nature's way of telling me I got to stay on FM for a little while.
That's okay. It'll be worth it. But you should do the FM, too. There's nothing wrong.
You
get on
the
V-Star.
I know.
The WinLink system, my gracious, it's really great fun, too. So you have to, that's the whole thing with amateur radio, everybody. You can go everywhere and do all kinds of things. And there you are right there.
There's that nice icon.
Yeah, that's the D-Star. And we've got a lot of D-Star listeners ready for you, Leo. So, and I talked to Ray this past weekend and his lovely new wife at HamCon. And they say they are waiting for Leo to come up on the air.
I'll take the ICOM home to the house and we'll do it from there. That'll be fun.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that'll be well, talking about working things, we've got some pictures. Check out Mark. Alex, look up KR6Z. ZY, Mark and his daughter, his young daughter, they were working this through the satellite with a little HT.
Isn't that great?
That's all you need.
And look at that. And he made contact. And again, remember, that's missing the 70-centimeter antenna on the satellite, yet it's still getting through. So congratulations for a great contact.
And a great educational opportunity, too, I think, with the kids. I think that's just fantastic.
It really is. Yeah. We get so many requests here for guys to say, oh, man, it costs so much money to get into it. I want to show you a really great shack. It's into FYE. He sent me this picture, and what a sweet setup he's got. It's a Kenwood 830, I think, 820. Look at that. But it's got the VFO on the left. And the radio, and then the speaker with the filters, got his key and his microphone. And you can pick this kind of stuff up today for $200-$300.
Really?
And that is an incredible piece of gear. It just is.
That's
is
a nice setup. That's a great setup.
That's all you need. Yeah. You know, you don't have to do that. Yeah, you don't have the screens and you don't have all that. But, you know, you can work South Africa or Alaska or Japan or somebody in the next state just as easily with some of that. And I thank them for that. And then last but not least, we got to show Larry's setup, Leo. WD0AKX. Check this out.
Oh, my.
I love it because look at the wood. He's got everything in the cabinet. Tree, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, he That's built beautiful. That cabinet.
So nice.
And he's got all the equalizers and the mixers. The other thing he does there is he takes the audio out of that mixer where all of his receivers go into and feeds it into a 70 volt line, and he's got speakers throughout the house, so if he's you're not going to miss anything.
This is a better setup than most commercial radio stations, I got to tell you. That's incredible.
Yeah. He's got a PR22, I think, on the microphone, PR20 or 22, and equalizer and the mixers. And
look at that.
Actually, if you look at the radios, he doesn't have anything wild and crazy, but you don't need that. He's got the right audio front end on it, and away he goes. So, Larry, you're to be commended for what a great station that is. Wow, that's really great. And what we have to do is make sure we don't let George come close to it with his blowtorch siren.
Uh-oh. Hey, there we go. We lost your audio. Go ahead, start over again, George.
Okay. In my defense, that blowtorch belonged to Jim.
It wasn't yours.
That's right.
It felt like it could have burned you.
We're not going to let you off that easy. Oh, boy. When you have stations like you saw with Larry, a lot of problems with RFI getting into this RF interference. And you have the answer tonight, or at least the start of the answers, George. So let's let a little smoke and solder roll down there and tune us in on how to get rid of some of this.
Okay, let's go with it.
This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to talk about keeping radio frequency interference out of the ham shack. Now, there are several ways to do this, but I'm only going to mention the ones that I actually use myself. You start by having a good antenna system that's resonant and properly matched. And, of course, you're going to need a good ground system. Here is my 8-foot ground rod driven right outside the shack. And you notice I've got a 3-inch wide piece of copper strap that runs up from that, and it's about 4 feet long and goes directly to the rear of my amplifier and my antenna tuner, and that's my common ground point for the system. Antenna placement can also play an important role in how much RF you're going to have coming back into the shack. You wouldn't want to put the antenna right above your station unless you absolutely have to. It's best to locate it some distance from the shack. When you add an amplifier to the equation, then you really have the possibility for some strong RF interference.
RFI can get into your transmit audio and cause all types of problems.
Clap-on ferrite beads can be very handy around the shack. I use a number of these on my 80-meter loop antenna, right below the feed point of the antenna, and that helps keep the RF from coming back down the feed line into the shack here. It wasn't a big problem on that particular antenna. I also have a number of them on the power feed coming into my house, and the reason I did that is to keep noise that might be coming in the power line down the street a piece from getting into the house and thereby having my antenna pick it up. Of course, you've got other lines coming into the house. The cable TV is also a good place that you could put some of these, and might as well put them on your phone lines too. The computer power supply that I tore apart several weeks ago had several toroid ferrite cores in it, and these are also handy for wrapping control or audio cables around and thereby reducing the RF running down them. When I put up my 40-meter off-center-fed dipole antenna, I had horrendous RF coming into the shack. It was very apparent in the audio, and if I turned on my amplifier, it was so bad that it rebooted my telephone answering machine and also crowbarred the power supply and shut my rig down. I found a real good solution, though, and that's the one-to-one or air core ballon. Some folks would call it an air core choke. Others might call it the ugly ballon. And here's a link that you can look up more about it at Ham Universe. There's a great article on there, and it shows a number of examples. Basically, you want to use a 3 to 5 inch plastic core. That's PVC pipe or any type of non-conductive material. And you'll need 18 to 21 feet of your coax cable. Now, some of you are saying, well, use ladder line. Well, the differences between ladder line and coax cable are kind of like political or religious discussions, and I'm not going to get into that tonight. But if you're using coax, check out the air core ballon. You'll wrap 18 to 21 feet of your coax cable around the coil form, getting the individual coils as close together as possible, and then secure them tightly where they won't move. You don't want to use foam dielectric coax for this. It's better to have a hard, solid dielectric so that it won't come out of shape over the years. You can make your air core ballon look like anything you want. Pretty, or you can make it ugly, and it'll still work just about the same. Just don't get it too close to metal. Here's the one I'm using for my 40-meter off-center-fed dipole. It's not much to look at, but it sure gets the job done. Audio transformers can be very handy, too, for keeping RF out of the rig when you're using external audio sources. My friend Jim does a segment on this in the upcoming AmateurLogic.tv episode that you might want to check out. Often amateur radio operators will use power line chokes to keep interference out of their receivers, particularly in mobile installations where you may be hearing alternator whine. Just make sure that you use a choke that has a current rating large enough to handle your rig. Bypass capacitors can also be useful in reducing RF interference. You'll typically tie them to your signal lead and then to ground, and it bypasses the RF energy. You'll use values that'll vary depending on the frequency. I hope you learned something useful today about keeping RFI out of your ham shack and possibly out of your telephone and other appliances in the house. There's a lot more on this subject. There's custom filters that you can build yourself or buy. So do a little research, and I'm sure that you'll find a solution that works for you.
Really great stuff. Maybe that would be my solution. Put balans cores everywhere. Ferrite cores everywhere. I'll just snap them on everything.
Yeah,
looks like what George did, actually. I think he has one.
Yeah, we have. We've got, George is absolutely correct. These little guys are real important. You can just slide them over the cable and on they go. But, Leo, the noise, I think, at Leo Shack is coming from a lot of around the town and right into the antenna. So, unfortunately, we're going to need a lot of these if we're going to be outfitting the entire town of Petaluma with these.
It's not coming through the feed line. It's coming in through the other end. It's a little harder
to
protect
live
against.
And direct.
Yeah. Hey, that's great, though, George. I think a lot of people probably got a lot of good ideas out of that.
Yeah, let me show you one thing about that. I talked about the Air Corps balance. There's one sitting over here behind me. I mentioned there use a solid foam dielectric, and what I meant was the dielectric is the insulation inside the cable here, and you want the type. It's usually clear and it's hard. And I said don't use foam, and foam dielectric is usually a soft type of insulation that's in the middle there, and that will warp after it's been out there a while and could cause some problems.
Yeah, the dielectric is hard to find, the old stuff. You can get all kinds of foam things today, but you look hard and make sure you've got a solid dielectric in that. It's kind of a milky-looking dielectric. It's not foam at all. It's real hard. Very important. And the velocity factor is very different between those two dielectrics. So if you're making any kind of coaxial dipoles or things that need to figure into that K factor, that's one of them. So take that into consideration. But yeah, that's all great information, George. It's super. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Bob. And go ahead, Gordon.
Oh, no, I was just saying where I get my flat ribbon is metal-cable.com. metal-cable.com. Real good guy there. He sells it by the rolls or by 50 feet or 100 feet, different thicknesses, and it is great for keeping a good ground tied into your setup. And go ahead, George, what were you going to say?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. What I used there was not actually copper strap that I bought somewhere. That is a flashing that I bought at Lowe's and then folded around and
It's copper flashing, though, right? I mean, it's copper.
Copper's copper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Save you some money. I love the ingenuity that hams show with all of this stuff. This DIY stuff is great.
George, did you get that copper from your neighbor's house?
No, it wasn't his room.
His neighbor's name is Lowe.
Just checking, George.
George Lowe, my neighbor.
A VE3KNT's in the chat room talking about how to trace some of that noise down, and you do it with an AM radio, and I've got one of those things, too.
Really? Man.
Just take a little old AM radio and walk around, and boy, you will hear noise like crazy if it's there. You don't have to go to this crazy extreme to get old.
Any particular frequency I should tune to for that?
You'll hear it.
You will hear it. Actually, it's so bad here, I don't even think I'll have to turn the radio on.
That's true. No. But you can certainly track things down. And the great sniffer of Southern California is a guy in a red and white shirt sitting over there to your right.
I know. And I hear that you and Gordo drove around town and decided that Petaluma was not the place to do a ham shack, which was to my great disappointment, I must say.
Well, we have many experts working on the remote station, and we know that it's fun to be able to reach over here and turn the big dial. So that's what we're going to come up with, is not a computer for you to work for HF, Leo, but an actual remote station off of that ICOM transceiver. And
cool.
Ray says he's got several folks that are working hard on it. So when you turn that dial, it'll turn at an alternate location with great reception and transmission.
And that's the only problem, because I'm going to have to buy a home in the country for the antenna.
Well, you know, next week,
working on that too, though.
Next week, Leo, we have Drew. We call him the Drew Man. He's out of New Jersey, and Drew Man is going to hook you up to his station so that you'll be able to operate from your location to the East Coast. And we're going to do that hopefully live on the air next week with Drew Man, also talking about cell phone apps and smartphone apps for ham applications. So be prepared. Next week, you're going to be on the air from the East Coast.
I think that's pretty exciting with that ICOM software. Wouldn't it be cool if you could do that with your phone? You could dial into your ICOM IC7800 from
you can?
I want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the product, but my friend Tommy was over in Huntsville a couple of weeks ago, and he saw one demonstrated at the Hamfest there. A guy just had a cell phone, picked it up, and punched in DTMF codes and controlled everything.
Wow.
So you didn't need internet for that.
Wow, that's really neat. I want to try that, too.
Yeah.
Do you want, I know we want to get a little Ask the Elmer in here. What do you want to do, Bob? You're in charge of running the show here.
Hey, Bob, I've got a couple of things I think are timely here I'd like to mention.
Great.
Exactly. We talked about this earlier. George has got some good stuff. Go ahead, George.
Let's go.
Yeah, I received an email from Paul AE5JU, who's down in Louisiana, and he had seen the segment recently on emergency power, and he uses generators, and his had been running fine until last time he tried it. It was it just kind of sputtered and missed, and he had to turn on the choke just a notch to get it to run smoothly. And, you know, I've noticed that same thing with mine. And so he took it to a well-known mechanic, and they looked it over and told him they found this to be a problem more and more with small gasoline engines now that we're using 10% ethanol fuel. And the way that they solved it was to increase the mid-range jets by 0.001 inches, and he said it runs good and smooth now.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. It was a new one on me. And one other thing I wanted to mention, probably most people watching this program are familiar with the great Ham Radio Deluxe software that you can control your rig with. Well, Simon just sold the rights to that to three hams here in the United States. I don't know the guys, but I think one of them may already have a software company. But I've noticed a lot of people on QRZ.com recommending that if you want a copy, you might want to go download it now, because we don't know exactly what it'll be in the future.
All right. Where do they go to download it?
I think it's just HRD.com, isn't
Dash.
It?
Yeah, it's actually ham-radio-deluxe, but I think...
Okay.
Yeah. And go there now, because I don't know how long it's going to be around. HRDlog.net is the log software that they also offer. So you like this software? This is a good one. Maybe I run out and buy it. Well,
it's
free.
It's great software. It's free.
It's free right now.
That's what George is telling us. It might not be for long.
That way,
But that really works well. And what I do here is I have a TS-480, and I have it has its own program, which you wouldn't need HRD, but I take that into the computer, which is out in my garage. I don't want any part of it in here. And then I use LogMeIn to operate that computer from anywhere. That's what I remember Saturday.
Bob. You showed me.
Yeah.
And remember that was so cool.
Yeah, I worked a guy on 40 meters. That's really simple to do today. You could do it with your any of the gear you have there. Every radio you have could be done like that. But and there's nothing wrong with the remote. It's an amazing thing. In fact, no matter where you go on the planet, as long as you have some high-speed internet, you can talk back to your computer using like Log Me In or one of those, GoToMeeting. I think I've heard about GoToMeeting on a KFI show.
Somewhere we've talked about that, yeah.
Yes, we have. And you talk to your computer, and then that host computer out in the garage is controlling with HRDR or some other program your radio. And it's really super. I use Skype for audio, though, because Skype's a little better audio than most of those programs. And it works so good. But we don't want to do that for your main station there. We want to have those big knobs to play with.
That There's a picture of you doing that right out of the Twit Brick House. You've got Skype running. You've got Log Me In and your software. And it's pretty cool that you can do all of that.
The chat room is saying that we just crashed the Ham Radio Deluxe site.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. So. You might want to wait till tomorrow.
Oh gosh. Well, it's that is a great program, though. And do you use that, Gordon? Have you you got that installed anywhere?
I have used it. In fact, the Drew Man next week says that he's got some canned audio of some of the contacts that we've made. In fact, we got a QSL from one. Look at this. 6YA. Wow. My challenge is who can beat by age this QSL from the YMCA radio school in L.A., postmarked 1928. Who's got a QSL older than 6YA? And Leo, you got a whole bunch here. You're going to start checking them out.
That old, I tell you. You know, it's Marie is a librarian, the wife of one of the people who works in our building, and she is going through all those cards that we got.
Oh, my goodness.
She's cataloging them, scanning them. We'll put them online, and we'll also pick some of the more interesting ones. We'll have a kind of rotating exhibit at the Radio Shack over here.
Wow.
Great. Yeah.
Radio Corner. I shouldn't say Radio Shack. I believe somebody has that trademark.
There we go.
You can say Ham Shack.
Ham Shack, I'll say.
Yeah. You do have a wonderful one in the corner, that's for sure.
I'm so proud of it. I just wish I could use it, but we're working on that.
Getting there. We're getting there. That's great. Yep, we are. Did you have some Elmer things, Gordo? Did you have a couple things?
I did from Brian K1BRF. He says he's got his license. He loves twit.tv. He thinks Leo is the best. But he says, how do I get on the air for the first time? I've got a handheld. Comes up on 146.010. I took it back to the dealer because Gordo said that the dealer might pre-program a channel in it. The dealer threw me out the door saying, you got to know how to do it yourself.
Wow.
And, well, I think he was sort of kidding. But, you know, this is the deal. We encourage our ham radio dealers as well as those clubs that offer exams to pre-program a couple of channels in that dual band handheld. So when that new ham gets home and finally gets his or her license, they have a clue as to what channel to come up on and say, hello, Gordo here on the air for the first time. So, again, try and go with either an organization or a ham dealer that will pre-program maybe a couple of channels to get you started. And thanks to Brian with Sora, he's got the new ICOM D-Star radio pre-programmed for me. So Leo and I will stand a chance of making that first contact soon.
Yeah, in fact, I want to thank the folks from the Redwood Empire DXers who came by my ham shack and programmed my ICOM D-Star radio so I can get on D-Star. It's funny because I consider you, Gordo, one of the ancients, one of the great Elmers. And even an Elmer like Gordo can get a little hand from another ham, and there's always something new to learn, and that's one of the things that's most exciting about this hobby. It's amazing.
That really is.
And
hams are great. We just came from a ham show. By the way, we saw Kevin Karamanos, who used to be with Yaesu. He is now working with PowerWorks. We saw Ellie Kraft there with their new K3T. Oh,
that's
wow.
Sweet,
what
isn't
a radio.
Yeah.
Wynn Radio was there. Flex Radio was there. So I tell you, software-defined radios are really coming on. Yaesu has moved. That's right. They've moved just about a half a mile away. So if you plan on going to Yaesu to get your equipment worked on, be sure and get their new address. ICOM, Ray and his lovely wife, brand new wife, was there, and they had a wonderful display of all their gear. Phil Parton of Kenwood was there, and he was walking around with that D-72 playing APRS. Alinco was there. But most important, hams were there just to exchange ideas on how to grow our service. And again, Leo and Bob, everybody was saying, wow, Ham Nation, that is just what we need to get the word out to those with a computer that there is wireless excitement. So thanks, both of you.
Hey, I have a thanks, too, because I did say the Redwood Empire DXers, they've been very helpful. But actually, it was Dave from the San Francisco Amateur Club, WA6UHA, who did the D-Star programming for me on the ICOM. So thank you, Dave, for doing that. I appreciate it.
You've got all kinds of help around you.
I do. It's really wonderful.
We're going to take advantage of some of them. They're all working behind the scenes to help you get going.
And we have mentioned that we'll be at PacificCon, right, doing the show. We should mention that again. We're setting up right now to do the tech guy from PacificCon in Santa Clara on the 16th of October, right? Yeah, the 16th. Is that right?
That's Sunday. I think Sunday. It's the 16th.
Yep. Yeah, and we'll be there from 11 to 2. And I know you'll be there, Gordo. I hope to get you on. And I was talking to Bill Ruck, my old pal, former chief at KNBR Radio. And he has been working out at this old Marconi station, getting it working.
KPH. Yeah.
Yeah. And he wants to talk. Well, he's going to come on the radio show talk at PacificCon and talk about that. It's pretty cool. He's got a great presentation. It's amazing what they're doing.
And it's a huge installation there. Yeah. So that'll be great.
Yeah. No, we're going to have a lot of fun. So if you're at PacificCon, or you can make it to PacificCon October 14th, 15th, and 16th in Santa Clara, come by on Sunday and we'll say hi.
Oh, that'll be great.
Do an eyeball QSO. All right.
From our final one from the chat room comes from Bob, W-A-8-Y-C-D. He teaches electronics, and he says, I've got it for Ohm's Law. He said, Bob did a great job, but twinkle, twinkle, little star, power equals I squared R. We aren't done. Power equals E times I, little star up in the sky.
Wow.
So there you go, Ohm's Law at its best.
That's excellent.
Just so you remember it all.
I'm gonna use that for my extra exam next year.
That and Eli the Iceman. Okay, sounds good. Don't worry about extra. Just get on the air on 2 meters and 440.
You bet. You bet.
We're going to make it happen, that's for sure.
Yep.
Well, we've got a bunch of guys on the chat room talking about all kinds of things, and we're going to go over and join a few of those, and then we're going to rip off and see what we can do on 14265. And be sure and join us all on Sundays on 14292 at 1 o'clock Central Time, because that's when the vintage guys come on, so that's where I usually hang out. Down on 75, and no, Gordon's on 40 every morning. What's that frequency on 40? Is it 50? Is that where you guys are on Sundays?
Yeah, I think so. Yep, 72.50 every morning, 8:30 California time, and we're there, and everybody's talking up and down the coast, especially when the big one hits, whether it's lights out or maybe an earthquake, or we've had some thunderstorms, right, Suze? Yep. So tune us in 72.50 California time. But I've got the new ICOM here, and we're on 14265. So we'll be listening as I do my other nets.
That's great. Okay. Leo, thanks a lot for being there tonight. And we'll look forward to seeing everyone here next week on Ham Nation. Help us spread the word and spread the fun. And that's all we got from Southern Illinois tonight here in the good old station lab from K9EID. And I hope that we can make good contact on 20 meters tonight. So that has been a wonderful show for me to be a part of tonight. And we'll see you all later. George, are you still there?
I'm still here, Bob. And it sure was nice to see you again tonight. And glad you had a good trip, a little vacation, and you're back home now.
We're back home for a while. All right, guys. Thanks very much, Leo. The studio looks wonderful. I keep seeing new things all the time, so congratulations on what's going on there.
We're having a lot of fun. We'll be over in the Radio Corner, I think, for next week's show.
Terrific.
So that should be a lot of fun.
Look forward to that. Okay, 7-3, everyone. We'll talk to you next week here on Ham Nation, if not on some of the amateur radio frequencies this week. So we'll be a little high, a little low, but we'll be in there somewhere, and hopefully we'll be able to make some contacts. So long from K9EID.